IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.
Today, my dear friend Amari Pollard. As y'all know, Tari and Amari, the dream team, fresh off of our first season of Sound On with Tari and Amari on ESPN, and we're here to talk about the season that we had, because this season was phenomenal.
So much to break down, but one, again, Tari, thank you for having me on the show. It's been weird because we're not recording regularly anymore. So even though we text all the time, I'm still going with like Tari withdrawal, because I miss our recording sessions.
I miss them too. Getting all dressed up, have my little pretty background, talk about lacrosse, laugh together with Heather Lee. So many good moments. And I think a lot of people might not know this. I've probably mentioned this so much because it's just like so odd, but we actually have not met in person.
Mm-hmm. Like, my parents talk to me about that regularly. They're like, I feel like I know Tari. How have you not met her? Because it also feels as though you've had this relationship with her in person this whole time, and we've never met, which is crazy. I mean, we're going to fix this. We're going to fix this eventually.
The things are in motion to fix the situation. It's so wild. Amari, how do you feel about this past season?
I mean, I don't want to be dramatic, but I think after the last game was, after it was played, I just sat there and was like, out of all the seasons, it's going to stay in my mind for like ever. Like, this is going to be the season I will look back on as just a fan of the sport. I think it was incredible.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think, you know, looking back at all the seasons since I started playing and started watching this season, maybe it's because we had just anticipated it so much more. And, you know, obviously not having last season be played out as fans, getting to watch our favorite players, it felt almost, it was like my support was ready times two. My excitement was ready times two. Mm-hmm. And then the players brought it times two.
Mm-hmm. Everyone had just stored up everything that would have been used last year and just like let it loose this season. And I think it was definitely weird last year, because I remember being like oddly, not thankful is the word, but it was like nice to experience a slow lacrosse season and kind of like regain footing, but also weird at the same time. So I think, like you said, everyone was just like re-energized for this season, and it clearly showed.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, starting from the most recent game that we watched, you know, watching that Boston College Syracuse National Championship game at Towson, I was in the press box, got to be in the press box with Hallie, who is the women's editor and director at Inside Lacrosse. And I remember Charlotte Nord's first goal. I gasped, y'all, like audible gasp, mind you, silent, right? This is like writers from like Sports Illustrated and, you know, the Towson newspaper and all these different organizations and publications. And there's me, being all professional, all of a sudden I'm like, like hold my breath to wait to see. I'm like, okay, well, security is about to come in. Here comes security. They're coming for me because I'm making, you know, being a distraction. But I think that moment for me just summed up what we've seen Charlotte North do.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I mean, I think even from home, I love watching lacrosse with people who don't really know lacrosse. And I was watching it with someone, and he was just like, just in awe. And I think it was so cool just to see someone from the outside just be in awe of her as a player, but really of what these teams were doing. And at the end of it, we're just like, I don't know what you do with this, because it's just incredible.
Absolutely. Like 102 goals in a single season. She surpassed the record that was set by Courtney Murphy of Stony Brook, another phenomenal player. And to just watch it all unfold over a game, it was like kind of inevitable, likely knew that it was coming. And then to see that feat happen and how it happened. She's embraced her teammates. Her teammates embraced her, but it was still, the game was still going on, right? Like the championship still had to be won. It was like, you know, I thought back to the interview I had with her for Shooting Space, and something that struck out that she had said to me was, you know, the accolades are great, but it's really just being with my teammates and playing with my teammates for my teammates to win it all, basically. That's what was most important to her. And in that moment, you could feel like, okay, that's something checked off. I did that amazing thing. I don't even think she knew she did it.
She probably didn't even know. And I think that's something that I've noticed as a theme with a lot of great players, is that they're not aware of the records they're breaking or the accolades they're racking up in the moment. It's other people that make them aware. Yeah. And I've always been curious about that. They feel like this extra pressure because it doesn't seem like it's coming from within them to like get all these points or all these, you know, assists. I think it's like us being like, we want that for them.
Right. Yeah. You know, I just want the best for everyone. I just want everyone to succeed and win. And speaking of wanting the best for Syracuse, that loss was tough to watch as also a fan of Syracuse and a fan of Coach Gate. You know, they played a great game, but it just, again, Boston College like came out storming. It was like Boston College times two.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not even going to lie. I was always rooting for UNC in this scenario, but after they unfortunately lost, I was in my head thinking, you know, well, at least I have my original home, my hometown in the final. And so it still felt like I was winning, or the team I wanted was in the finals. But yeah, it would, either way, it would have been a moment of Cinderella story for either team. But I'm glad Boston College won. They did great, don't get me wrong. But I do think, considering the season SU had and the amazing players that unfortunately went down due to injury, and to see the way the freshmen and the underclassmen stepped up and got them that far. I mean, when Emma Tyrell when she carted out of the game, I was devastated because she was one of the players I was most excited to see perform in that game. And I think everyone was.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, such a phenomenal way of people stepping up and filling in these big shoes, you know, starting off with losing Emily Hirschchuk and then losing Megan Carney. And, you know, for a lot of teams, losing key players, especially early on or even in the middle of the season, that's something that sets them far back. But it was like for Syracuse, the next man up mentality and the preparation that the coaches had with the players, there was always someone ready to step in and just continue the legacy. It wasn't even like, oh, you know, I'm going to come overshadow what was done before. It's like, I'm going to fill in and do what we need to do for the team. That Emma Tyrell red card or yellow card situation. Okay. I know the streets might roast me for this one, but I think that is a rule that needs to be changed. My lack of agreement with that rule is not towards the refs. That is not me saying, you know, the refs made a bad call or whatever it is. If the refs saw yellow, they saw yellow, right? Like I'm not on the field. I'm not there. They saw what they saw. They have to call what they had to call. But the rule book saying two yellow cards means for someone to be out of the rest of the game. That makes no sense to me.
That makes, honestly, I think I had forgotten about that rule until it happened.
Right.
Because it's not something I feel like you don't see that often. And I don't think you see that in the championship that often. Yes. And to me, it makes like, okay, you know, three strikes, you're out. Why wouldn't it be like three cards, you're out, or something like that? Two just felt so quick.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And it's, again, it also kind of lends to subjectivity, right? Like if it's a yellow in the eyes of the ref, that's fine. They call that, sure. But again, two yellows, like it all depends on what's being seen on the field and what kind of calling they're doing. And I think that then set the precedent of everything else after that had to be a yellow. But you just took out a star player for the team. And in listening to Coach Gate after, you know, in the post-game interview, he mentioned that they just had a hard time coming back after that. A hard time staying in the game after that. That is a game-changing thing. And I just don't think that two yellows means you're out is fair. I think three, like you said, three strikes, you're out. That is much more fair. Or a red. If it's a red, if it's that bad, like, okay, red card, she got to go. But, oh, those two yellows, I don't like that.
Yeah, and I think what was not disappointing was that, like, it wasn't even as though the momentum shifted immediately after that. I mean, obviously, there was a different feeling But Syracuse was still in there. But I think you can gradually see it, like, get to them. And also some of the calls, and I was, you know, on Twitter, a lot of people were talking about how much it felt like the refs were swaying what was happening based off of the calls, or I think you can see it at home sometimes more because they would do a playback and it's like, it doesn't seem like that was actually what you should have called, but, you know, it's a major twist. And I think we saw that throughout the tournament. So I know people, the Twitter streets had some feelings about that.
Yep. Hey, it's a whole lot of feelings. I was there with you, right there with you. And yeah, just, I mean, that was beautiful lacrosse, but that yellow card situation really stood out as a pivotal moment in the game. But we got to shout out Emma Ward again.
And yes.
Just love to watch her play. I think, you know, you and I are two Black women, you know, leading at the helm of the first halftime show in lacrosse history on ESPN. And to see a young Black woman on the field, absolutely crushing it as a freshman on a historical team that was this close to a championship, that makes my heart warm. And it just makes me so happy to know that other young Black women, other women, anyone is watching and seeing, like, I can do this. I can be there too.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And it just felt like a moment, or even to like see other Black women acknowledging it, that they're watching and like, oh wow, two Black women talking about lacrosse and there's Black players on this field. Like, let that be the norm. And Emma is just like, it is so exciting to watch her and just the energy she brings to the field, just the power she has. I mean, I want it. Like, I never had that type of power as a player. And
or aim. I didn't have that much aim.
Or aim.
Yeah. I had that. But yeah, we are Team Emma. The Emma Show, we love it. And yeah, just a phenomenal game. And someone that kind of flew under the radar in a lot of the headlines we read was Holly Schleicher for BC. She was on the circle, didn't take the draw, but she won a lot of the draw controls and also had a ton of ground balls. And I started to think, like, how many players, you know, on the stat sheets, her name is there, obviously you can call it the name, you'll see it, but how many players fly under the radar in lacrosse that just are doing so much, but we don't really see them in the headlines?
A ton. And I think, like, if you're a player that comes up big in the transitions, or, you know, even unfortunately on defense, I think historically we've seen a lot of defenders not get the love that they deserve. I mean, in the history of the, we know I struggled with this during taping, Tworaton Award, there's only been one defender awarded. And, you know, the saying goes, like, defense wins championships. Mm-hmm. So I think there are a ton of players that go under the radar, and I don't think people give enough credit. Like, transitioning is hard, like getting the outlet is hard. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good point to bring up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so many speedy defenders, speedy middies that get that ball where it needs to go. And I just had to shout out Holly as well, because she was phenomenal in that game. And yeah, I just, man, that game was just, it was so good. Like, I plan to sit probably tomorrow, like after work, get my little blanket together and like sit, drink some tea and watch the game, because I love instant replay. I think instant replay is the best, and my attention span is not always the best. So if I miss something, I'm like, now I don't even know where we're at. Like, I don't know what's happening anymore. So very excited to watch the game with instant replay. And I've just been watching highlights and reminiscing about the season and the game. Question for you. So what were some of your favorite moments during this season? And I know it's been a long season, so I'm sorry to ask that, but but I need to know. The streets got to know.
I think for me, my favorite moment of the season was when, even though the score wasn't the best, was when SU met up with UNC. And for me, that was particularly special because it was like old home, new home, but I actually got to watch it with my parents. And that was the first time we had sat together and watched a game of lacrosse in forever. And like I mentioned earlier, I just like love watching other people play, other people watch lacrosse who haven't played lacrosse, and like listening to their input. But I think we saw such great performances from UNC out of that game. I mean, Jamie Ortega was just, I think I understood the level of Jamie Ortega, but I think that game for me in particular solidified what a tremendous player she is. Also how hard it is to shut her off. Mm-hmm. How good she is at cutting, the quick like catch to shoot. And also she's just like maneuvering her body in ways just to get the shot off and then it goes in. It's just, I think for me, her and Charlotte North have probably been the two top players I've been most in awe of this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I completely agree. Shameless plug here. I'm glad I asked that question because now I get to plug us.
Yeah.
My favorite moment of the season was when we did our show.
I didn't know I could choose that. Well, that was my favorite.
I had to. I'm making the rules up over here. So we'll jump into the show a little bit right after this. But favorite moment of the season. Oh man, I'm trying to think of like what were my favorite games. I think this is kind of like a general, like a gradual kind of thing, but I think watching Caitlin Wurzburger come alive as a player.
Mm-hmm.
That was really, really cool. I think that, you know, she was ranked number one in her class, missed her senior high school season, so did not get to play in high school, much like all the other freshmen, true freshmen that came into the season. And I remember in the first game watching her behind the goal and, you know, kind of watching her take it all in. It was like, okay, she's watching, she's looking, she's trying to see what's going to happen. And something I was curious about was like, okay, well, you're on, you know, an offense where you've got Jamie Ortega, you got Katie Hogue, you've got Ali Mastriani, all these amazing people, amazing players, kind of already knowing how the offense runs. Like, how does a freshman that missed a whole season jump in to a system like that? Obviously, they had fall ball and, you know, great coaching staff, all this practice. And then to just see her come alive and start to be someone whose name is called consistently and look like a grown-up, not look like a freshman. You know, she just looked phenomenal and became part of that offense so quickly. And I love that for her. Like, we love to see it.
We really do. And I think it's always interesting to see how top recruits transition into college and carve out a space for themselves on the team. And it was great to see her, what appeared to be like so seamlessly, just enter the fold of UNC. And even with like Bell Smith at BC, they're not playing like freshmen. They're not scared. They're aggressive. They have the ball. They know what to do with it. And it's a joy to watch it, but just also really impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe Bell Smith was ACC Freshman of the Year. I may have to double check that, but
I believe so.
Yeah, it just like she was ready. Bell said, mm-hmm. I'm the bell of the ball. Where is the ball? Get in my stick. Let's get this going. Like, I have no time to, no, I don't need warm up. I'm good. Let's go. So, you know, shout out to Bell Smith as well. And it's just, they both had such wonderful freshman seasons. And I remember when we did our segment trying to pick Freshman of the Year, and it was, I was like, okay, Caitlin or Bell? Like, I can't, mm-hmm. I can't pick. I don't know. I don't know who would be a Freshman of the Year. And looking at Caitlin's stats, you know, 53 points in her inaugural season, that's amazing, especially on what was ranked as the number one team in the nation. Like, that's not something that just happens randomly every day for fun. And looking at Bell Smith's stats, she had 65 points. So, you know, these are players, again, that did not have senior years in high school and joined the national championship winning team and the number one ranked team and made a mark for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Those are the type of numbers you usually see from players later on, like their junior years or their senior year. So to do that as a freshman is insane.
Absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. Yeah, and then all the goals that we saw, and we've got the Charlotte North, like Jumpman kind of goal. We've got Jamie Ortega's like catching, kind of falling backwards-ish, like, and shooting. And I just love seeing things go viral. Like, all the different Sports Center moments have been my absolute favorite, because these players deserve it. And I think that's another of my favorite things, is all the media that we've seen for women's lacrosse. Whether it be plays going viral on our own Twitter accounts, on Sports Center, games being televised more, the championship and the tournament, you know, semifinals being on TV, like, all the different podcasts, the shows, all these different opportunities to showcase women's lacrosse. I've been waiting for this for 9 years. And like, I remember 13, 14-year-old me tweeting, being like, I want more Women's Lacrosse on TV. Like, I want to see Michelle Tumala on TV all the time. And I'm sure people were like, why is she yelling on the timeline? And people were like, oh, no one wants to watch Women's Lacrosse. Like, all these random people that I don't care about would say that. And I just knew they were wrong. Like, I knew they were wrong. And I love it. Like, these players just, we deserve it. The players deserve it. Fans deserve it. People who love the game deserve it. And you know, I just am so happy to see this continue.
Yeah, 100%. It's almost, it's satisfying because it feels like everyone's just catching up now. Like, they're just catching on. Like, we've been on this train for a while and they're just starting.
We've been on this game train.
Like, chugga chugga choo choo, we're leaving the station, and we're just, I think, like, we're just scratching the surface right now. So I can't wait to see what women's lacrosse coverage looks like down the line. And it should be, you know, if we think this is great, like, I feel like in years to come, it's just going to be even better, more consistent, you know, more airtime, better scheduling. I think it'll be good.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I see more and more, and I kind of learn more and more what my role is in this world. I think when I started, obviously I was in high school and I just wanted to tweet about lacrosse and, like, had no other considerations or intentions or things on my mind other than just talking about the game that I love. It's humbling. It's a little scary. It's fun to be in a position now where I can highlight all these amazing players that are out there and be a voice in the sport to continue pushing for this growth for the sport.
It's really full circle, like, to go from a fan, you know, a player, to then also having now influence within it, mm-hmm. in a positive way.
Yeah,
it's definitely full circle.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you highlighted positive, because that is who we are. We like to be positive, want to be happy, want everyone to have fun and enjoy lacrosse. Like, there's no need to be negative, y'all. There's so much negativity in the world already. We don't need to bring it. We don't need it. Keep it that way.
I feel it.
And so what I was also thinking about is the players that I'm sad to see go. Because I wrote the article, which it was a happy article, about the Syracuse Super Seniors. And, you know, Lila Nazarian, who is so active in the community, was a One Love unsung hero. We've got, you know, Asa Goldstock, who now leaves Syracuse as that program's, you know, leading most saves in a career. She holds that record now. And started to kind of marinate. There are so many players that, you know, are gonna be moving on to the real world and, you know, do amazing things in their community, in the world, at work, as coaches, as teachers, and all these different kinds of careers. But it's kind of a bummer that we don't get to watch them anymore.
I know, I think just some things are supposed to exist for that period of time, you know, just like
that makes me sad. How I feel about these things. You're non-sentimental and you're hurting my feelings.
You know,
like, it
it's just I don't know, I feel like I am sad, but I feel like there's not even enough space to, that sounds bad, like, there's not even enough space to, like, be sad about people leaving, because there is just so much talent to discover, and yes, I wish we could watch, you know, these players longer. I mean, hopefully, you know, they go on to play on the US team, and we'll see them in different areas, and they'll look different. But I mean, also, like, we also have to talk about Kayla Traynor and just getting to, like, again, full circle moment, see her as a player, see her as a coach, coaching against her previous team. It's and like, that's, I never think I thought about it when I was younger, just like the cycle of lacrosse, or I always just thought, like, when I stopped playing, like, that was just going to be, like, it for my relationship with it, the sport. But I think lacrosse just has a way of, like, sneaking up on you and just, like, keeps re-entering your life. And it's so cool to see that with other people and, like, the different iterations that lacrosse like takes.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. You're right. Okay, I'm less sad now. you know, that Kayla Turner, and I remember tweeting about that because I was like, wait a minute, like, she played in a championship game coached by Gary Gate, and now coaching against her coach as a coach on BC, and then to win it. And, you know, I went down to get a video of them rushing the field after the win, and you could see her crying. Like, she was crying as they approached fans, just so overcome with emotion. And it just, that's such a beautiful moment. And I think that when, like, listening to Coach Gate in the press conference after and acknowledging the amazing coaching staff that's there at BC and his respect for that whole coaching staff, for, you know, Coach Walker Weinstein and Kelly Trainer and all, and, you know, the full staff, it's just like you said, it's so full circle. And I think what I loved most about just getting to know more about the coaches there and listening to them as well is the respect that they have for each other. Mm-hmm. That's what stood out to me the most. And so, you know, to some perspectives, it might be, oh, like, she beat her old coach and won a championship, and, like, you know, that's what happened. But that coach equipped her with so many skills as a player, and they have an ongoing, you know, friendship. Like, once you have a coach, once you have a teammate, that's your family for life. And so she coached against someone that taught her so many things that she was able to help equip another team to be a really great team. And so, like you said, it's full circle, and it just all, I don't know, it all plays out so beautifully, like you said. Mm-hmm. This is philosophy. Yeah. This is lacrosse philosophy.
101. Lacrosse philosophy.
That's the name of this episode. Lacrosse philosophy. Lacrosse. I'm trying to make up a word.
Lacrosophy.
Lacrosophy! Yeah. I love it. I love it. Lacrosophy right here. Live.
You heard it first.
You heard it here first. Yeah, that coaching loop is interesting because I was also, you know, just looking up again all the different coaches I'm on Google. But you know, Coach Acacia Walker Weinstein was at Maryland, and she coached at UMass, and then went on to coach at BC, and now coaching, or has, you know, coach against Kathy Reese, and, you know, has likely coached at UMass as well. It just, it's awesome. And you know, along the way, players are learning so much from their coaches and then coming back and, you know, sharing those learnings with their own teams. And I think of Kelly Amante Hiller playing at Maryland and, you know, coaching and now coaching at Northwestern, who, by the way, I still think is going to be bomb next year. They're going to be so good. They're going to be so good. And you know, Cindy Timshaw was at Maryland and coached there and coached her players, who then went on to coach against her and then at Navy and then all these things. And it's the whole web. I love it. I need to code a program that tracks the web and movement of coaches. If I disappear from Twitter for a week, that is what I'm working on.
That's where you're going.
I need to do that for myself.
But I mean, it is such it's like such a cliche, you know, saying, but like, it's a small world. It's a small lacrosse world, and you're going to cross paths with so many people. Like, you know, you could be, you know, playing with someone one day and then a few years coaching against them or coaching against your coach, or interviewing former coaches if you're a part of the press. I mean, it is really cool to just see how people move within the sport.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. And so I dropped Northwestern in there, and that, like, sparked another thought in my head of who are we excited to see next season. So let's start with our teams. Who do we want to see next season team-wise?
Well, obviously UNC, because Ortega's coming back, and you just know, I just feel it, you know, like,
yep.
she's gonna be even more ready. And not to say people should be scared, but, like, I feel like I'd be scared if I was a player. Mm-hmm. So definitely UNC, Louisville. I think that was a team that we talked about throughout the season that sometimes goes under the radar. We don't give them enough credit, but they had such a hard, you know, conference that it was just hard to get out of the shadow of other teams. Yeah. So definitely them. And also we'll say that I did not watch Northwestern nearly as much as I should have this season. And so next season, I think I will be making more of a conscious effort to watch them, because I think I just totally underestimated what they were going to do.
I've been there. I totally agree. I think that it was interesting when people would talk about Louisville or any other team and say, you know, these teams aren't that good or whatever. Not that they're not that good, but just, you know, oh, like this team isn't performing well. And it's, the ACC is the best conference. These are the best of the best. In that microcosm, a team might look a certain way, but remember, like, these are the best teams, mm-hmm. right? And like you said, you know, they kind of started to get into some sort of stride and, you know, looking towards next season, like, there's so much room for growth. I think the same with Virginia Tech. There's so much room for growth on that team, and I'm excited to watch them as well. And excited to watch Northwestern. I think that it was so interesting to see tweets and different positions about Northwestern and saying, oh, they're not going to be that good. Like, they've only played in the Big Ten. You know, they don't know real competition, all this stuff. And I think that game against Duke, they really said, like, what's good? Like, we're here. Mm-hmm. What now? You know, and going into the game against Syracuse, there were some mistakes that, you know, were made and some things that kind of fell apart here and there. And so not their best showing, but Izzy Skein is just a junior. Like, we have definitely guaranteed one more year. I don't know if she's going to take another year. I don't know. But there are two more years of the Skein train. Like, this is a team that knows now that they're really good. Mm-hmm. Next season, they get to play against more teams, not just in the Big Ten, play against other conferences, stack up that schedule. Mm-hmm. And it's on a weapon.
100%. And I really have to remind myself every time I watch her play that she's only a junior, because in my head, I'm like, she's a fifth year. Like, yeah. She's been on this team. She's been doing the thing. So yeah, I definitely think next year will be different. You know, fingers crossed, knock on wood, that we continue to move beyond the pandemic and the season will look more like a full normal season next year. And I think with that, you'll have a better idea of what these teams can do against each other. Right. And also, I think they'll be able to, like, build more of a familiarity with each other. I think, like, Northwestern coming into the conference, they just didn't get to see these teams like other people. You know, Boston College had met up with North Carolina before. Boston College and SU had seen each other before. So they had, like, this relationship. You know your opponent well. And I think that Northwestern just, like, didn't know the side as well.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. It's all about that discovery. And I think maybe that's where the gaps were. You know, it's not necessarily knowing how a certain team plays until that championship round. And so that might hold them back. But again, with the exposure and with just the knowledge of, hey, we did this before and we could do it again, like, that's pretty dangerous. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and moving into players that I'm excited to see. Definitely excited again to see Caitlin Wurzberger continue to grow, Emma Ward continue to crush it. Like, just a big fan. Excited for Emily Horschuk and Megan Carney to come back. I think that I can't even imagine how hard it was for them to watch the season unfold and not be part of it in the way that they would have wanted, especially for Emily. And so just excited for them to return and, you know, finish their careers on their own terms. And then, you know, excited to watch Izzy Skein. And excited to watch Sydney Watson on UConn. Y'all, listen, I'm a Sydney Watson stan. There's a Sydney Watson stan account. I think that she's just a phenomenal player. And, you know, in the mix of discussing teams at ACC and players, especially from the ACC, she might get kind of lost in the shuffle sometimes. But that's someone from the DMV, someone that I just really enjoy watching play. You know, got to have the stats. I, like, have my little iPad ready to talk about stats 24/7. 69 points on the season. But what's most impressive is the 136 draw controls. So not only is she scoring a ton, she is getting so many draw controls, tons of ground balls. Like, this is just a player that I'm just excited to continue supporting and you know, excited to also discover other players that maybe are flying under the radar right now, but that we can hype up and that we can give exposure to, because that's just why that's what I want to do. I want to be a positive source and someone who helps people be celebrated.
Yeah, I love it. And it's so hard to, like, know everything that's going on and know, like, all the players. So I think it's great. Just I've been a part of this community for a while, but I think this year I felt the most in tune, and it's just been really helpful to have people be like, are you watching this player? Have you seen this replay? You know, to be able to catch up. And so like the podcast, which is great. And I listen to because I want to catch up and because I miss things, you know? So.
All good. Sports, gotta love them. How about you? Who are you keeping your eye out for? Who's the banner app you're on?
I mean, honestly, there are so many players, and not to keep like harping on SU, but I'm excited for the Emmas to return and just I did not see it coming this year. And I think watching them grow as players throughout their careers at SU will just be really fun. So those are probably the top two players I'm excited to watch. Yeah, I'm just going to keep with the SUs.
That's awesome. I love it. I love it. So much happy energy. So much happy energy. What a season. What a season we've had. And coming up this weekend is the Torton ceremony, where the award will be handed off to two amazing players in men's and women's lacrosse. And, you know, as we may know, some of you might not know, I'm on the board of directors for the Torton, first year being on the board. And let me just shout out the amazing, amazing people that I'm on the board with. It has been such an awesome experience. This is my first time on a board. And shout out to, like, lucky me, shout out to the universe for letting my first board be the biggest board in lacrosse. And it's just such an amazing experience to be surrounded by people that love the game so much and are so passionate about rewarding and celebrating the athletes within the game. One of the initiatives that, you know, we've been working on, I worked on closely, was, you know, getting things kind of shaping up and continuing to assist with the scholarship program that the Torton has. And that was something close to my heart because I got a scholarship to go to college and was assisted, you know, with scholarships throughout my 4 years. And so that's something I was really passionate about, and being part of utilizing social media to really connect Torton, you know, finalists and nominees and winners with current nominees and finalists to help them celebrate each other and to connect and make sure that, you know, we continue to grow the Torton family and really highlight all the amazing efforts that are happening within the Torton organization itself on social media. And so just so pumped, and just, it's the craziest thing to be on there. I remember my first Torton ceremony, I think it was in like 2015, I went just to watch with a family friend, and I met Alyssa Murray, and I have a picture with her, and I think it's like Alyssa Murray, Shannon Gilroy, Kayla Trainer, maybe, it's a couple, and Taylor Cummings. Like, I have a picture with all of the finalists, and it's just so awesome to think back now to, like, I can text Alyssa Murray and be like, hey, like, I have a question about XYZ, or like, no, did you see that game? Or like, hey, I have questions about lacrosse in Texas. Like, can I ask you the question that I have? And so again, full circle, even on the kind of, you know, just tweeting, writing, coverage, you know, media, fan side, like, also full circle there. That was a long spiel to say. I'm really excited for the Torton ceremony and for everyone to see, you know, see it all come together and celebrate the athletes at the end.
No, I think it's just a great culmination of the season to have that moment to celebrate the players, just the pure excellence on the field. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, again, I feel like I'm beating like a, I don't know if that's a good saying, like being like a dead horse, or just like keep saying the same thing over and over again, but I really do feel like everyone has been a winner this season. I just, you know,
yeah,
it's just felt so good.
Absolutely. I agree. And, you know, we touched on this in Sano, Atari, and Amari, which, you know, we think is coming back. I don't know. There's no official word yet, but the streets want it. If the streets want the show, who are we to not deliver?
Who are we to tell them no?
Right.
Exactly. We wouldn't.
I wouldn't dare. But we touched on this in Sound On, but I also wanted to just again highlight all the finalists that, you know, are in contention for this award and just celebrate them. I keep saying celebrate, but it's true. Like, I just, this season has been so good. These athletes, listen, COVID protocols, being away from family and friends, like, just did so much to play the season that all we could do is celebrate. Lacrosophy celebrates.
I really forgot about that word.
Alrighty. I have a memory of an elephant. I remember everything except things that I probably should remember. So, but kicking off our list of Tour Taunt finalists, starting off with Lizzie Colson, the grad student defender from Maryland.
Just everywhere. Have you seen the way she can intercept a ball or cause a turnover?
Yep.
And just like, so, and it's not even like there's a hesitation with it. It's like a swoop in and just flow down and just so fast, and she's great. I mean, when she went down during that last game, I really felt for her. And I don't do predictions because I'm usually wrong, but I feel like had she not gotten injured, I feel like there was a chance they could have come back. I feel like the score might have been a little bit different.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just what stood out to me the most about Lizzie Colson was her ability to lead. Like, you could tell that she was the anchor of that defense. All those years of experience playing with all the amazing players that have come through the Maryland system, she was the constant, the voice, the leader. And like you said, you know, her going down with that hand injury in the last game really affected Maryland. And a fun Lizzie Colson fact that I learned recently is that she actually didn't play defense in high school. She played attack. She was on offense, and in the most selfless way possible, like, just said, okay, like, I guess, you know, we need a defender. That's what the coaches want from me. I'm going to be the best defender I can be. And I wonder too, like, you know, being an attacker probably made her a really good defender, because she knew, she could tell what was coming.
Wore them. And you know what? I think it's interesting too, because I feel like there's this narrative around like transitioning from positions where, like, if you go from attack to defense, it's almost sometimes seen as a demotion or something. But even as a player in college, I noticed a lot of the attackers that ended up transitioning into defense ended up being great defenders, like top defenders of our team, even though they were great attackers. But like you said, it's probably their just awareness of the ball and being able to predict the moves that really helped them.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Completely agree. And up next, Taylor Moreno, North Carolina, senior goalie. The goalies this year. I forgot to name Rachel Hall, someone I'm excited to keep watching. The goalies this year.
Phenomenal. Something else.
Like, mind blowing. Defense this year, especially at the latter end of the year, like, just on point.
I just love a low scoring game. There's something about it that just like makes my soul happy. You know, when SU met up with, I think it was UNC for the second time, it was, I can't remember the exact score, but I remember it was pretty low, especially for UNC. I just love it because it's about that defense. And again, they just don't get enough credit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree. Absolutely agree. Yeah. And I know that, you know, there's definitely a couple of those shots that Taylor Moreno would want to step back in and save, you know, in that championship game, but in that championship, in their last game, sorry, before in the semifinal game. And, you know, it just knowing that she'll be back and she'll be better than ever, and that team is not backing down. Like, North Carolina does not back down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we just know they're coming back with a vengeance, and she'll be in cage. She'll be in cage ready to crush it. You know, next up, Charlotte North, senior attack, Boston College. What can we say that we haven't said already?
Just the most creative player in lacrosse across the board right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think you, again, I just don't, whatever she does, like, I don't get it. I'm always in awe the way she cradles, the way she shoots. Her precision is insane. And I don't know. Like, how does one get that good?
That's a great question. She said a lot of practice and good teammates and good coaches. So that's the answer. That's the secret. And of course, Jamie Ortega would be next on the list. Jamie Ortega, senior attack from North Carolina. Jamie Ortega and Charlotte North, like we said, are just two of, they were two of the best, if not the best players this whole season. It brings me back to like the Taylor Cummings, Kayla Trainor years of just two absolutely phenomenal athletes, phenomenal players, so impactful on their teams. And how lucky are we that we got to watch them play?
Just, yeah. It, again, like, I think there are just so many games we came to this season excited about, and also just very aware that it was going to be good. And I think that's, it's nice to have that kind of consistency and reliability. Is you going to watch a game with and like either of those players and you know they're going to show up.
Yep.
In some shape or form, some shape.
100%. Yeah. You just know that they're going to bring it and they're going to do amazing things. And for me, Jamie Ortega, what's most impressive about her and what just like sets her apart so much is her ability to stay composed under all that pressure. You have five defenders on you and she, or like she has five defenders on her and she finds a way to score the goal. Every time. She's not fazed. They were beating her up. Like, defenses were not easy on her. And she was just like, boys, calm. Gonna do what I need to do. I'd be freaking out. I'd be fully a headless chicken.
Like, you know you're so good when people are actively trying to shut you off. Yeah. And they can't even do it with multiple players on you.
They said, we're sending all the people that we have, all our people, and they still can do it. Still can do it. And I just... in that loss, that semifinal loss, I don't know if it was like a look on all of their faces, all of North Carolina's faces, but something just tells me like this team is going to come back next year and be unreal. And Jamie Ortega is going to lead that charge.
Yeah. And I think there's also just like such a deep like history with the way they lost. You know, the last loss they had in 2019 was to Boston College in the NCAA tournament. So I think, again, another overused saying, like to have a chip on your shoulder, but I just think they were determined this season, and it's just going to be tenfold next year. Also because I think a lot of people doubted the fact that you could have such a perfect season. Like, I think this was an unprecedented season for a team. And I think you had a lot of people questioning whether it was possible. So I think you're going to have them come back next year, making sure that they let the people know what is up.
Yeah. And last, but definitely not least, Izzy Skein, junior attack, Northwestern. Like we said, we are on the Skein train, choo-choo. Watching them play Syracuse, I remember being like, just give Skein the ball. Like, when she started getting those goals, I'm like, just give her the ball. Let her shoot it. Like, it's going to go in. Just let her shoot it. Let her shoot it. So close. I think she ended up with 98 goals on the season. So close to 100 goal mark as a junior. Like, it just is mind blowing how much talent she has and still room to grow.
Mm-hmm. Like, this, it's not even the pinnacle yet, you know?
Yep.
And I think that's just, again, the most exciting thing about the game is just watching people, players grow into their abilities, grow into themselves on these teams, and also to do it when there's, you know, she's a junior. Imagine what she'll be like when she comes back next year.
NCAA lacrosse and that kind of production, like, just so good to see, so cool to see. And you know, I think you hit the nail on the head that like we're all winners that we've gotten to watch these five phenomenal finalists and the men's finalists as well, and the nominees and everyone across the board in lacrosse this year. Like, it's just been so much fun to watch, and, you know, just excited to see who ends up with the Torton trophy. But regardless of, you know, the one person that stands on the stage as the Torton award winner on Saturday, everyone is a winner. And with the players coming back, like, we know that they're going to bring it. And each of these players are national caliber players, and that those are players that we're going to see at the national stage at some point.
Yeah. And, you know, there is really no excuse to miss out on this season of women's lacrosse. Yeah. So next year, again, there's going to be like negative excuses, because we saw the insanity that happened and the greatness. And so I feel like people are going to come prepared next year. And I'm just excited to see how it pans out. I wish it wasn't such a, I want like the lacrosse season to be immediately. Like we just need a 3-month break. That's all we need. Just give us the summer.
Yes. Like just a little break and then bring it back. Bring them back.
Like, I say as I'm not the player. Like those players actually need breaks. I know, they're tired of
stuff. It's been so good. And next year, definitely want to make more games in person. And hopefully, you know, the world will be back into some balance and everyone will be healthy and safe, and it'll be even safer to go watch. But and this season, one for the books, and it's just another chapter, and we write a new chapter, and we keep enjoying, keep watching. You know, we got to give love to the people that have supported us with our first season of Sound On with Tari and Amari. I don't think it hasn't dawned on me yet that we have a show with ESPN. Like, I don't think that it has, and honestly, it might not.
Fair. I think the best thing that came out of this tournament was my mom sent me a picture of my, he's not a baby, I shouldn't refer to my baby cousin as my baby cousin because he's a full-blown teenager, but it was him in the living room with his dad. They were watching the game and he was watching us on Sound On, and to me that was just like, you know, it's filled my heart this season when people I know have watched us and have felt the need to even tell us that they watched it or that they loved the show, or, you know, that they didn't understand something and we made it clearer for them, you know, mm-hmm. that, and that they enjoy it. Because lacrosse is just at the base of it, it's been so fun. I was introduced to the sport through women's lacrosse, so I never understood that narrative around, you know, oh, women's lacrosse is boring, women's lacrosse is worse. Like, I just never got that. To see people be about it now is really cool. And also, you know, so many people have been like doing the work for years, for decades, just to scratch the surface like this now with airtime and attention. So
yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. One of my good friends, John, was at Planet Fitness and, you know, just doing his thing, working out, and they had ESPN U on and a game started and he saw us at halftime and took a photo of it and sent it to me. And I remember just being like, I'm in Planet Fitness.
A whole Planet what? Fitness.
We were all at Green Turtle, like, we were on in public places on the television. Does that ever get, like, it's so crazy, y'all. And something that people don't know, I just was so camera shy before Sound On. Like, I did not love being on camera. I thought that I was like, I probably sound crazy and I probably look crazy and I just don't want to be on camera, like no vlogs, no nothing. And when ESPN knocks on your door and says, would you like to do a show? What do you say? You say yes. And mm-hmm. I told myself, like, you know what? Just try it. You're working with Amari, who's so nice. You're working with so many people that are so nice. And this is just an opportunity that, like, you would dream about, to talk about your favorite sport, to be yourself, to be on TV, like all a mix of all these things, these just this wonderful opportunity came to be, and it pushed me out of my comfort zone. And I'm so grateful because that opened me up to a new understanding of myself and a discovery of a new talent.
I connect with that so much. You know, as a writer, I was like, I write, like, I'm no one's supposed to see my face. No one's even supposed to know what I look like. I'm anonymous out in these streets. So I was super scared to step in front of the camera, and I think it was a really vulnerable position. But I think just this season is really a testament to, or the show and even the players, you know, what happens when you're put in an environment that you're supported, and people really care about you as a whole person and they want to see you thrive. And I felt that, you know, working with you, working with Heather Lee, having Hallie, who was like, had my bag since I was just an itty bitty junior in college, you know, to have people open up space for us and let us just like bulldoze through it and kind of just do our thing has been one of the greatest. I'm only 26, but I'm confident that this will be one of the greatest joys of my life
forever. And I think the cool thing is, like, the community just embracing us and seeing people tweet at us when we're on and you know, show their teams watching us, their kids, their siblings, you know, their parents, like all these people just tuning in, supporting us. And it just felt so wonderful to have that love and support and just organic appreciation from the lacrosse community and even people who didn't watch lacrosse. You know, you mentioned in the final, people tweeting at us and sending us photos of them watching as just stumbling upon the show. People were like, oh yeah, I'm just watching ESPNU. And then, you know, lacrosse came on and it was like, cool, like I'll check it out. And then I saw you at halftime and people resonating with seeing us. I think that it's just so special, you know, the first halftime show for lacrosse in ESPN history and we crushed it. Like I say that in the most humble way, it just, the work that we put in behind the scenes to make the show what it was and bringing our authentic selves and just building this thing that I, you know, is a hallmark of my life and something that I just love so much and I'm excited to continue doing. It's just the best. And I don't know if it'll ever dawn on me that that happened. It might take a couple seasons, you know, I might need a couple seasons.
Yes, bring more.
Put that out there. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. It doesn't even have to dawn on me. I think it's even better that it's still something that bewilders me because that means that I just love it so much and I'm so grateful and that I'll continue to hold that in that regard of like, this is such an amazing opportunity and I'm so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most serious I've been in years. y'all just got serious, sorry right there. But yeah. It's thundery. Is everyone okay out there? We'll cut that part out. We'll cut the thunder part out. But Amari, we did it. We did it. A whole season.
A whole season.
That was so weird. I love that season rundown. We just absolutely covered everything we possibly could and ending on such a happy note. And you know, our friendship is so much fun and I'm excited to continue our friendship. We'll soon have a couple things in the works that we could tell y'all about. You know, we gotta, you know, keep it on the low for now. But the dynamic duo remains intact. Working hard, working away to bring you the best lacrosse content. And when I thought about this season recap, I was like, there's no one else I literally would rather do this with than Amari, because the whole season when we were not texting about random things in life, we're texting about lacrosse and keeping tabs on everything happening. So Amari, thank you for joining me on Shooting Space.
Hari, thank you for having me. I loved every second of this.
Of course. We just have so much fun. Every episode is just a party.
Joy. Pure joy.
Pure joy. Everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. I will catch you next time on Shooting Space with another amazing guest. Lots of things in the works. Like I said, you know, I'm out here hustling, working hard, doing what I can. You know, and this summer is going to be phenomenal for women's lacrosse. Again, that's my favorite word right now. It's phenomenal. Everything is phenomenal. And this summer is going to be phenomenal. We've got professional women's lacrosse in the mix with Athletes Unlimited and their inaugural lacrosse league. So that's going to be something really exciting that I'll get to tap into and bring you along for the ride. And yeah, stay tuned.
IL Women Podcast. The source of her sport.